So welcome, everybody. I'm Anna Dushinsky, and I'm here with Nick Ortner. Very excited to be with you here today. I've been watching your work for about 20 years, along with Alex, or the tapping world. And today we are specifically looking at tapping and its applications for healing, but also for sleep. So welcome. A little bit
Thank
about
Thank you so
Nick.
Much for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. So Nick, obviously, CEO, for anyone who doesn't know, is the CEO of The Tapping Solution, the producer of the Tapping World Summit, at New York Times best-selling author of The Tapping Solution, Revolutionary System for Stress-Free Living and for Pain Relief as well. And you created the Tapping Solution app, which I know we've been pointing lots of people towards recently. So Nick, obviously we're going to have a combination of people watching this, some who are really familiar with this, but also people who don't really know that much about tapping. So could you start us off with a little bit about what that actually is, what we really mean when we're talking about tapping?
Absolutely, absolutely. So tapping, or EFT, is a form that I use, emotional freedom technique. We call it tapping because we are literally physically tapping on these endpoints of meridians of our body while focusing on the stress, the anxiety, the trouble sleeping, the racing mind, whatever's going on in our lives. And what the latest research shows is that when we tap on these endpoints of meridians, we actually send a calming signal to the amygdala in the brain. So I know a lot of your viewers will know the amygdala as the fight, flight, or freeze response center in our brains. It's a part when we get a stressful email, when we're trying to go to sleep at night and our mind is racing, going through the day, everything that went right, everything that went wrong, what's coming up tomorrow. It's that amygdala that's firing. It's that stress response that's firing. And the tapping sends that calming signal. So it, in effect, it disengages from that thought pattern.
Right. And obviously, you know, I've been using tapping with clients for nigh on 20 years. And for a long time, you know, the conversation was, look, we don't exactly know why this works, but we just know it works. But actually, I think we're starting to catch up with the science these days, aren't we? There's a lot more research. So can you talk a bit more about what we know now?
Absolutely. We are. And it's exciting because, so, you know, tapping, which was discovered in 1980 by Dr. Roger Callahan, sort of a breakthrough experience he had with a lady called Mary with a water phobia. He had an insight to tap together and the water phobia cleared like that. So we're going on 40 years from when the technique has been out there. The first 30 years or so were, you know, proponents of the personality like me, someone who's just excited about things, has an experience, looks around at the world and goes, well, why isn't everyone doing this? Did you just experience this? It works, right? And that's all fine and good up to a point. But then what I've learned for myself over the last decade, that if we want to reach hospitals, if we want to reach institutions, if we want to get to the wonderful skeptics out there that we need in this world, right? So we're not all doing woo-woo crazy stuff without any evidence. We need the evidence. And as you mentioned, in the last 10 years, the research has really started coming in. One study that stands out to me, Dr. Peter Stapleton from Bond University in Australia. And she actually conducted a replication study. And what's important about a replication study, all of our scientists and researchers out there will know that a challenge in science is that someone will do a research study and then someone else will go to replicate it and they can't, right? So it's like, especially when we get these little studies, it's like, if you eat chocolate at 11 a.m., you're going to be happier the next day with a data set of 12 people, right? And then it's like, all right, let's try to replicate that with a bigger data set. Let's prove that's the case. Oh, we can't do it. So Dr. Stapleton conducted one that Dawson Church had done 7 years earlier or so with cortisol. Really simple study. So cortisol is a main stress hormone in the body. We have it flowing through our bodies at all times. When we get extra stress, it rises, right? So we can measure it very easily. We can measure it in saliva. So spit in a tube, you know how much cortisol you have in your body at that time. There were three research groups. So three groups. One did an hour of tapping. The other one did an hour of psychoeducation, which, you know, sort of like what we're doing now. And then the third group was a control group. They just read magazines for an hour. So, for, you know, board magazines. Spit in the tube, before and after. The tapping group saw a 42% decrease in cortisol in an hour. I mean, that's plummeting. Like, that is a big, big decrease. The psychoeducation group saw a 19% decrease. And I love the contrast of those two, because people always say, well, is it just the things we're saying or thinking? Is the tapping doing something? That's why the magic combination of the physical component, actually bringing our bodies into, drop cortisol even more. And then that poor control group, hopefully they got tapping later, because their cortisol went up 2% in that hour, showing distinctively like what we do with our time and how this affects the processes in our body. So that's just one of the research studies that's come out recently showing there is a physical response to this process.
So amazing to have that kind of research to back up what we, you know, working clinically have known for a really long time, that actually there is a really dramatic effect, but particularly for something as obvious and significant as cortisol, when we're talking about healing, when we're talking about stress, when we're talking about sleep, how significant that is. So 43%, amazing drop there.
Amazing drop. And, you know, you mentioned the word healing a couple times, which is part of this process. But I feel like even just that word gets stuck into this like alternative medicine, woo-woo, like if you're healing, what are you doing exactly? And wait, how are you tapping to heal a physical condition? People really struggle with that. And they'll say, does tapping work on cancer, for example? Like I get asked questions like that. Does tapping work on cancer? And no, tapping on endpoints of meridians of your body is not going to make your cancer magically go away. But if you reduce the stress in your body, if you reduce the burden that you're putting on yourself emotionally, physically, by thinking these thoughts that are taxing your immune system, if you can sleep better because you can actually fall asleep at night an hour or two earlier, your cancer journey is going to go in the right direction for making those changes. So, and it's one of the reasons, you know, you've mentioned using in the clinic. One of the things that I love about tapping as a process is that it's agnostic. It doesn't say, oh, you have to do it this way or that way. Whatever it is that you teach, whatever it is that anyone does, whatever process they take, whatever religion they believe in, they can bring the tapping process into what they do to help calm the body and to strengthen results.
Right. So it sits really nicely along with any methodology, any approach that you're taking to recovery, to healing kind of fatigue or any kind of chronic illness. That's a really good point. And actually, it's one of the things I think over the years, which has almost been a bit problematic, right? It's too good. It's too applicable. It fits too easily.
I think you're absolutely right. People go, well, it doesn't make any sense. You have in our tapping solution app, you have a tapping for cancer, and it's not, again, for cancer, it's to support the healing process. And then you have one on motivation and productivity. And then we have one on, you know, going to sleep. How does it work on all these things? And it's just, we're just calming the body down. We're turning off the fight or flight response. We're reprogramming the brain, changing those patterns. You know, another study that stands out, again, Dr. Stapleton in Australia, she did fMRI studies with people. So looking at the brain, and what she had them do is they went in the fMRI machine, saw pictures of chocolates and sweets. This was to see what tapping could do for cravings. So you can see someone who has weight issues, a chocolate addiction, a sweet addiction, cravings problems. When they see that picture, their brain lights up. It's like chocolate, boom, give it to me. And you see it light up. They did tapping. I think it was over an 8-week period. Back in the fMRI machine, show the chocolate, brain doesn't light up. Unbelievable. Like showing right there the difference. And, you know, now someone has a choice, not my brain is addicted to this thing and I have to have it now. So I love the real physical mechanisms, the x-rays, the fMRIs, the cortisol showing this isn't just some out there thing. It's like, it's making the profound change in our bodies.
Must be nice for you, right? After all these years, putting it out there and, you know, making your amazing documentary really early on, right? To have that science back up what you've known, what you've been saying for all these years.
Yeah, what my experience is. But like I said, I love the skeptics and we need them, because otherwise we have, you know, 1,000 different things, trying this, trying that. And if we want to, you know, take the right road, we need evidence-based things that can be replicated. You know, we had a study published late last year about the Tapping Solution app. And one of the cool things about the app is that the tapping process, as we do later, we measure 0 to 10 on everything. So it's like, hey, how anxious are you? Well, I'm at an 8 right now. And then you do the tapping for 10 minutes and now I'm at a 4. So it's like, okay, we saw that decrease. We've had over 5 million completed sessions inside the app, and we have 0 to 10 data points on every single one of them. So we're talking about a massive data set that, you know, most studies, as I joked earlier, some of them are 12 people, some of them are 100 people, if you're lucky, 200 people. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of data points showing a decrease in anxiety, a statistically significant decrease in stress. So it's like that data is what's going to propel us going forward.
Absolutely. As you say, and actually really interesting as well in terms of the reliability of this is something that people are really going to stick with, believe in, because of course you talk about healing, talk about recovery, talk about, you know, improving sleep. It probably isn't tapping once and assuming that's going to fix it, right?
Yeah, it's part of the process. We tend to look for, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it in your clinic time and again, where someone's like, tell me the one thing to do, right? Like, what's the one supplement or what's the one process? What's the one thing? I'm looking for the answer. And certainly there's incredible breakthroughs with tapping. People will be in chronic pain for 20 years and tap for 10 minutes or a week and then it's gone. So like these things happen, but I like to point people towards the lifestyle aspects of it. How can you use this to move you in the right direction? And how can you use it to open up the door to other things? So if we tap for better sleep, if we get to sleep even 20 minutes earlier than we would have otherwise, we just got 20 minutes of sleep. And now you wake up in the morning just a little more refreshed, and now you have the energy to go for a walk. So you opened up the exercise program that you were struggling to do, and now you walked. So you got to bed, you got some sun in your eyes early in the morning, you had an easier time falling asleep the next night, and now you're ready to exercise. So it's like opening up the door to this healing progression. I think it's so important to recognize as you are looking. You know, people watching today, they're looking to overcome fatigue. They're looking to overcome other health challenges. Recognizing that, I mean, right now, what people are doing is they're opening up the door to that healing. They are moving. If this is healing and that's not healing, they're on the healing path. So now where's that path going to take you? It's going to be winding. There's going to be some things that work and some things that don't work. But as long as you keep going on that path, recognizing that progress, being kind to yourself as you're going through that path, I believe eventually you're going to get there.
Really interesting what you're saying there. So with tapping as part of, and I love the way that you're framing that, you know, it's opening the doors, it's connecting you to that healing path. It's perhaps facilitating other lifestyle changes as well. So when we're talking about recovery from fatigue, from chronic illness and tapping within that, what are your thoughts? How would you, if you're working with someone or if you're kind of speaking to these millions of people out there, wanting to begin their recovery journey or speed up their recovery journey, how can they use tapping as part of that?
Yeah, great question. So we have a gut healing tapping meditation in the app, and it's one of our extended sessions. They're still not that long. It's 15 to 16 minutes. And I spend a good amount of time in that session tapping, focusing on everything that you've tried, everything that hasn't worked, right? Everything that's been a disappointment, all the conflicting information that you've read online that's twisted you up in a knot. So just, you know, with the gut, thinking about diet. So we spend some time going, okay, tune into everything you've tried to eat, everything that you've heard about this food being good and that food being bad. And guess what? The next day, vroom, flipped out. A different person says, nope, you're 100% wrong. The food that you said was bad is actually good. And the food that you said was good is actually bad. All that information. I mean, it's amazing that we have the internet now. We can see each other. We can look things up. We can be our own advocates. The downside is that the information overload and the overwhelm, I believe, places such a toll on the body where people just come in and they're fatigued from that in and of itself, from that journey. So I would start with, you know, and we'll go through some tapping process, but like, even though I'm so overwhelmed by the amount of information, even though I don't know what to do next, even though I've been given 20 different diagnoses, I'm sure when people come to your clinic, they're probably at the end, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but they've seen 20 doctors or they've gone through all these different journeys and they're just confused half the time. I mean, is that your experience?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think a lot of confusion, a lot of overwhelm, a lot of people who've tried a lot of things, and as you say, have been very disappointed in things that haven't worked, are doubting whether, you know, or are looking for that one thing that's going to fix everything. Yeah, very common stories.
Yeah, and even with tapping, they might get excited about tapping and then try it once for 10 minutes and then say, well, I still woke up tired the next morning. Well, that's okay, right? The key is, do you feel better at the end of 10 minutes than you did at the beginning of 10 minutes? Or, because sometimes you don't with tapping, did you unlock things that you didn't realize, right? So you can tap for 10 minutes and go, okay, I don't necessarily feel better because I had all this awareness of the stress that I'm carrying and the overwhelm. And now we can work on that. But at least it's like, it opens the door to that subconscious, to that unconscious awareness. I think we, you know, our bodies have such burdens on them now these days from life things, toxins, right? Just like, hey, the stuff out there, viral infections, you know, like everything that's coming at us, you know, the quality of our air, EMFs, I mean, things that I know that you cover in the rest of the conference. So that's all like the incoming. Then we have, that's a physical incoming. Then we have the emotional incoming. I mean, certainly in the last year, certainly the climate these days around politics, around beliefs, like there's a lot incoming. And I think it's so critical to look at all that and go, what kind of burden is that? Am I just tired because of all of these things? And how can I begin to remove some of these things and open up the door to healing and to creating that energy?
It's what we call healing state, right? You know, it's and as you say, it's not necessarily tapping on your fatigue, but even recognizing the amount of emotional, energetic burden that you're carrying from everything that's gone on around you, not only in your, as you say, your kind of close proximity, but particularly at the moment, maybe in the broader world. I think COVID has raised anxiety levels hugely for a lot of people as well, right? And really changed the environment for people as well.
Yeah. That's been a big thing. COVID's changed that. Social media is brutal. It really is. Even text can be brutal. It's not a way of communicating that we're adapted to. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not a big social media person, but I'll go onto Facebook because we have all these groups in Facebook and, you know, I'll see what people are posting, but I see the posting in the group and then I see other random postings from people that are friends there. And man, I tell you, 50% of them, when I really pay attention, make my energy go like this, right? They're not positive. They're either, you know, someone yelling at someone else, and just reading that is like, oh my gosh, this is the anger and the vitriol. And like, so having that awareness, everything that's incoming, everything that we're reading, everything that we're taking in, you know, you don't have to be perfect. Doesn't mean go off social media forever. Doesn't mean go, you know, live in the mountains. Like we are in these lives and we have things that we have to deal with, but there's a middle way. There's a path where we can, you know, still do some of those things while recognizing what it does to us.
And I really like your word awareness. One of the things that I think tapping does really effectively is raise our awareness. It's like that, however long, 10 minutes, perhaps minimum, right? But it's that 10 minutes to tune in, to actually raise our awareness around, because actually a lot of people who will recognize that in order to get to a state of real fatigue or chronic illness, there's a disconnect that's happened.
Yeah.
We're disconnected from ourselves emotionally, energetically, physically, even, you know, on a basic level. So it's that tuning in, tapping in, right? No pun intended, tapping in to ourselves, to notice even. I think that awareness raising is a really important piece, isn't it?
Absolutely. One, I mean, that's where it all starts. And just like you said, tapping tends to unlock that, where people go, oh my goodness, I just didn't realize I was doing this. And I didn't realize, you know, it's like when you go on vacation and usually takes a couple of days and you're just like settling in. About day three, you're just, oh, I'm actually relaxing now. And you recognize that you haven't been relaxed for the last month, right? So it's like when you stop to take a deep breath and you go, oh my goodness, I've been stressed out. I've been running a million miles a minute, but we default to these states. And now those states feel normal. I mean, that's what's strange about it, especially when we're really stressed for a long time. That stress state is like the baseline. This feels normal. When you wake up in the morning, you feel that way, but it feels normal. So then when you stop to take a breath, that actually feels not normal for a second. And it's like, oh, okay, I've been used to doing this. I'm opening the door to this. It's not always easy to do this either. That's what's sort of crazy about it, that when you stop and slow down, if you're addicted to stress, if you're addicted to moving at that pace, this can feel uncomfortable for your body, even though it's good for your body.
Really true. And I guess it's that, you know, as we tune in, we become aware of some of the stuff we've been avoiding, right? We become aware of some of and I guess that sometimes, as you say, means that when we initially tap, it isn't always brilliant and great. I feel loads better. Sometimes, as you say, we've opened the door to something, we're more connected with something that feels perhaps uncomfortable as a start.
Absolutely.
So in terms of tapping for sleep specifically, I mean, a lot of what you've already said is really applicable. Opening that journey and the door to the kind of more healing path and improved lifestyle, all of that is going to be applicable. And obviously your research around the cortisol and the decrease around that. But when we're talking about tapping for sleep specifically, how do you approach that?
Yeah. So certainly the simplest way to look at it is, hey, can you spend 10 minutes tapping before bed? Right. That is likely where you're going to start feeling some of that anxiety, like you talked about. Part of the challenge with sleep, if you've struggled with sleep before, is that it builds upon itself. So if you've had 1,000 sleepless nights, when you go to sleep tonight, your brain is fully expecting another sleepless night.
Right.
If you wake up in the middle of the night and you've done that for 100 nights, you're going to fully expect that to happen. I think most people recognize that most when we think about like catching an early flight or having to get up for something in the morning.
Right.
And you've probably had the experience where it's like, oh, well, I gotta wake up at 5 a.m. because I have an early flight. And you have the alarm set. And how many times have you woken up at 4:50 a.m., 4:55 a.m., or woken up all night long going, oh, I hope I don't miss it. And you don't go to sleep at night consciously thinking, oh, I hope I don't miss this flight, but it's there, it's lurking. So it's like, you know, a lot of people just struggle with whenever they have a big thing the next day, they're just restless. So showing the psychological pressure that we have on sleep. So what do we do about that? Couple approaches. One is, you know, tapping before bed can be as simple as like thinking about what you're stressed out about. So you're sitting there, you're lying in bed and you're thinking about something that happened earlier. You're thinking about something you have coming up and just doing the process. And, you know, in a few minutes we'll do a process so people can have that experience.
Yeah.
The other approach, if you've already had trouble sleeping, if you've created this whole story in your mind, if you have these established patterns, is you can tap on that directly. Even though I feel so frustrated, I'm never going to be able to sleep. And you'll see with the tapping process, we start with the negative. We give voice to the truth about how we feel, right? So in that moment, we're allowing ourselves to feel it because we're thinking it anyway. People get so scared, like, oh my gosh, why are we saying the negative? Look, you're thinking it. You're laying down and you're going, I'm never going to be able to sleep. So let's think it and process it. So tapping on the stress, tapping on the things that are bothering us, or tapping on the frustration about the insomnia itself, the lack of sleep itself, the sleepless nights itself, the fear, if I don't get a good night's sleep, I'm going to be tired tomorrow. It's like, you know, and I know you've seen it when you probably say to people, hey, like, let's work on sleep and good sleep hygiene. And like, that's all important, but give yourself a little bit of break. So people can also learn sleep is so important and put so much pressure on it,
right,
that now the psychological pressure, oh man, if I don't sleep well tonight, my day is going to be ruined and I'm never going to heal and I'm going to be more tired than I've ever been. Like, that psychological pressure, you know, adds even more to it. So, you know, tapping on the stress and anxiety, tapping on the frustration about the insomnia itself. And then another thing that I've been doing recently, and it, you know, it's really a function of some things that we offered in the app, is doing what we call sleep programming sessions. So actually having an intention for something else, completely apart from the stress and the anxiety or the frustration about the insomnia. So for example, you know, I'm going to program to have a positive day tomorrow or wake up feeling happy. Again, away from the other things that you're working on. So some people, that'll work really well for them. Oh, I tapped on the stress, I felt better. But sometimes we want to just take a left turn. So with that sleep programming, we just go, you know, relaxing the body, letting go. And then we program in positive suggestions. So it's sort of a little hypnotic suggestion kind of things, you know, like, and they could be, you know, completely different from the things that you're working on. Sometimes it's nice to shift the brain into this other direction to shift the attention and go, all right, I'm not going to think about the fatigue right now. I'm not going to think about my life. I'm going to relax my body and I'm going to lean into something positive that I want to create. None of those three options are all fabulous. Some will work for some people, some for others, but just laying that out there is like ways to approach it, because it's not one size fits all, and it's not even one day fits all. So one day you might be like, okay, I got to let go of this thing that happened earlier in the day. I'm so stressed and overwhelmed. I have to let it go. And another day you're feeling pretty good. And it's like, okay, what if I go into sleep with this really positive intention? What if I go into sleep, you know, we have one on becoming more lovingly assertive. Like, what if I redirect my attention away from fatigue, away from what's wrong with my body, away from all these things I'm trying to fix, into, you know, something that I want to aspire to be.
Love it. I mean, everything you're saying, you know, I think for a lot of people, well, if anyone comes to me to work on sleep, I'm always saying, well, I won't work with you about sleep. I'll work around sleep, you know, all the energy, thoughts, kind of belief systems, patterns that we have around it. Because until that's out the way, then, as you say, it's, you know, how are you going to have a positive experience?
That's it. It's an uphill battle. You know,
absolutely. Sure. But also, I love what you're saying there as well, to actually create a better alternative, something that we're moving towards, as opposed to always something that we're moving away from, right? Really important.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a tough loop and a tough balancing act. So as I mentioned with, you know, what's happened, we focus on the negative at first. We say, this is how I feel, and we acknowledge it. You got to be careful just to not get stuck there. And this is the challenge again with all the, you know, information presented online. So it's good to learn about EMFs. It's good to look to mitigate, you know, the situation you're in. It's good to try to turn off your Wi-Fi at night or do something different, right? And lean into that direction. Yeah. But the problem is when you learn about EMFs and you panic and you go, oh my gosh, I'm surrounded by EMFs. Oh my gosh, I'm now there's 5G and now there's this and now there's that. There are some things that are within our control. We can turn our Wi-Fi off at night. We can try to get hardwired. We can make these little movements and distinctions. And there's other things that we can't fully control.
Right.
So I would much rather you go, oh, I learned some things. I'm going to apply them in my life. They're going to lessen the burden, but I'm going to feel good about that than the panic state. I mean, I promise you that the panic about the EMFs, the stress about the EMFs, the overwhelm about the EMFs is going to be worse for you in the long run than the EMFs themselves. Same thing with toxins. And look, I have a water filter. Like, I've done all this work. But when you're panicked about toxins, when you're stressed, oh my God, I don't know if to eat this or eat that, blah, 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 the burden that that places on your body. And I've been there. I'm speaking from experience of diving into this information and going, okay, how do I take this information in? How do I apply it to my life in a positive way without putting this burden of stress, anxiety, and overwhelm that is worse than, you know, the toxin itself.
Absolutely. I love that as a general overview. You know, this is, I guess, how you approach your recovery journey, your healing journey, from a place that is healing as opposed to from a place that is stressful and creates more of an issue, the pressures that we put on ourselves to get it perfect, right? Be that our sleep or anything else.
Absolutely.
I'm aware of time, and I know that everyone would love to have some experience, firsthand experience of doing some of this. So should we dive into that?
Yeah, let's do it. And I'm going to give a general overview. We'll do some tapping together, and I'll guide you through the whole process. So, you know, since I don't know where you are in the world, what time of the day it is, what it is that you're working on, I'll show you the process, and then you'll see how it unfolds.
Amazing.
All right, so let's just start by closing our eyes if it's safe to do so and just taking a gentle breath in. And just take a moment to acknowledge yourself for showing up here, for doing this work. The fact that you're attending this incredible conference, that you are listening in, that you're trying to improve your life, that is incredible. Showing up is the hardest part and you're doing it. So just take a moment to thank yourself for that. And now with tapping, as I mentioned, we start by tuning into the negative, the thing that is stressing us out. So as you tune into your body, see if you can identify what's stressing you out the most right now. Is there something you're anxious about? Is there something you're angry about? Are you watching this before bed and you're anxious about going to sleep? Do you have some pain in your body? Are you just feeling run down? See if you can just isolate one thing to work on. stress, the anxiety, the anger, the overwhelm. And as you tune in, give it a number on a scale of 0 to 10. So if you're anxious, really, you know, at the height of it right now, you might say it's an 8 or 9 or 10. Just pick any number. And then see if you can feel it in your body. So where are you holding on to the stress, the fatigue, the anger? And if you just notice it everywhere, that's fine too. And then you can gently open your eyes. And we'll do some tapping together. And then just follow what I'm doing. We start by tapping on the side of the hand. It's called the karate chop point. Whatever hand feels comfortable for you. Tapping gently and repeat after me, either in your mind or out loud. Even though I'm holding on to this stress, I choose to relax and feel safe. We're going to do that 2 more times, staying on the side of the hand. Even though I have all this stress in my body, I accept myself and how I feel. And then 1 more time. Even though I've been so overwhelmed, I choose to relax and let go now. Now we'll tap through the points. I'll show them to you the first time. First point is the eyebrow, inside of the eyebrow, where the hair ends and it meets the nose. 2 fingers of one hand, the other hand, or both hands. The meridians run down both sides of the body. And as you tap gently, we want to tune back into that stressor. So we're looking to activate that amygdala now. We're looking to think those thoughts. So tune in now. What are you feeling? What are you stressed about? What are you overwhelmed about? Next point on the side of the eye, not at the temple, right next to the eye, on the bone. Eyes opened or closed. Tuning in. Think the thoughts that are stressing you out. Feel the feelings. What's been going on in your life? Where do you feel overwhelmed or stuck? Next point, under the eye. And one side or both sides, tapping gently. If you're getting distracted because it's the first time you're learning the points, that's completely fine. Just move your attention back to that stress. Moving under the nose, just 2 fingers of one hand, tapping gently. Notice the burdens on your body, just how fast you've been going, trying to figure things out, trying to fix things, trying to get well, feeling strong, grounded, and safe if you acknowledge this stress. Moving underneath the mouth, above the chin, below the lip, and that little crease there, tuning back in. What's stressing you out the most? What are you feeling? Where do you feel tightness in your body? What would it take to let it go? The collarbone point, just feel for the 2 little bones of the collarbone. Move right below it, all 10 fingers, both hands, tuning back in. Your body's been working so hard, moving so fast. Acknowledge that now. Tuning into that stress, the anxiety, the overwhelm, the fear. Beginning to let it go. Underneath the arms, hard for see me here. It's 3 inches underneath the armpit. Probably easiest, just one side of the body, or people like to hug themselves if they can reach. Tapping gently, tuning in. And the last point, right at the crown, at the top of the head. Tapping gently, tuning in. And we'll do 1 more quick round, moving back to the eyebrow. Repeat after me, either in your mind or out loud. It's safe to relax. Side of the eye, letting go of this stress. Under the eye, feeling safe in my body. Under the nose, I'm moving in the right direction. Under the mouth, and that's all I can ask for. Collarbone, feeling strong, grounded, and safe. Under the arm, in every cell of my body. Top of the head, right now. And you can gently stop tapping, take a breath in, and let it go. So now we tune back in. So that was two very quick rounds of tapping. So then you go, okay, the anxiety was at an 8, 9, or 10. Now it's a 7, 6, or a 5. I had pain that was at an 8 and now it moved to a 4. And we continued the tapping process, seeing what comes up next. Sometimes we start tapping on one thing and we go, oh my gosh, I thought I was stressed about this, but it's something altogether different. And we continue letting go for as long as we want to.
Right. So if people are coming to this for the first time, what kind of guidelines could you give them around some of that practically? So I guess people are going to go, well, I do this forever because there's so much that I could be tapping on, or yeah, how does it work?
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, when I first started using it 20 years ago, I did a lot of work initially because I was like, found the technique, looked around my life, saw all the things I was holding on to. So all the things in the past I hadn't let go of. So all the things that, you know, where I wasn't doing what I wanted to do. So I worked on it. It was just like getting in the gym, you know, and like, all right, maybe that first year in the gym, you're going to have to go a lot because you got weight to lose, muscles to build, mobility to increase. Along the way, after I did that work, I did less, right? I didn't need to do an hour session on stuff. Now for me, it's maintenance. It's either maintenance of something stressful that happened to let go of. It's leaning into more positive stuff. So I'll do, you know, productivity. I'll find myself, I'm sitting at my computer reading the same email for the 7th time and not making a decision on it. It's like, all right, I'm not centered here. I'm just doing, so let me do 5 minutes of tapping. Even though I can't seem to focus and I'm having trouble getting this done, I choose to move forward now, just moving that energy. And then sure enough, 5 minutes later, it's like, okay, now I'm back in it. So there's so many different applications. There's no right or wrong. Like any other practice, the most important thing is to do some of it. So I'd rather you do 5 minutes a day for the next 10 years than do it like crazy for an hour over the next week and stop, you know? So that consistency is important. Making it part of your life is important. You know, a lot of people combine it with meditation, for example. I'm a big fan of meditation. And sometimes when the mind is racing and you're sitting there and you're like, this is not a productive meditation right now because it just, I don't feel good. And sometimes people can feel worse. They like sit down and meditate or to try to get quiet and they just feel worse afterwards because they can't stop that racing mind. So combining the two, but yeah, just doing some, moving in the right direction is all that's needed.
And what was lovely about EFT, I always think, is, you know, like whatever they're feeling, you can name it. Whatever you're thinking, you can name it. You can tap and kind of download, right? You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you're stressed about your sleep or you're kind of even waking in the night, it can be a really nice, calming, soothing way to just deal with any of the stuff that's coming up at that point, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And for sleep, some people, you know, like pressing on the points, that is also really effective because certain people find the tapping to be more stimulating. Mm. So if that's the case for you, then you can just press on them or you can just even rub them like that in little circles and that can help you get back to sleep.
Lovely. So Nick, where can people go to find out a bit more about this, to maybe find some of the kind of sleep meditations that you've created? Where next?
Yeah, so our main website is thetappingsolution.com. Really easy. So you can see a lot of research studies there. If you want to dive deeper into all that and all the other work that we're doing. And I've mentioned our app a couple times. It's free to download on iOS or Android, wherever you get apps. Just type in The Tapping Solution. You'll see it pops right up. And right now there's 30 to 40 free meditations in there. So you sign up, you get access to all of them. And then there's 300 plus if you want to sign up for the premium side of it. But download it for free. You know, give it an experience. There's, I think the free one for sleep right now is Quiet My Racing Mind. So very effective for people and you can have an experience tonight with it.
Nice. And also pointing to your books as well on any good booksellers, I'm sure, out there.
Yeah, Amazon, wherever you get your books, you know, the main Tapping Solution book and many others.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been really valuable and great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.